Good morning. You are listening to Raven Radio. Today is Tuesday, April 16th, 2013. I'm Holly Keene, and this is Raven News. A Sitka man and his family are on their way back to Alaska this morning after yesterday's bombing at the Boston Marathon. 46-year-old Brent Cunningham crossed the finish line about a half hour before blasts that killed three people and injured scores of others. KCAW spoke to both Brent and Karen Cunningham about their experience in Boston on Monday. They said they were just a few blocks from the explosions.
We were all, like, looked at each other like, was that an explosion? And then a second one went off, and it was like, that sure sounds like an explosion.
So you kind of go, what was that? But you couldn't see anything, so it was like, huh.
You started seeing the, you know, the police officers and firefighters, some of them heading to their cars to get out of there. Saw a few Boston Marathon officials running, and that was kind of my first clue that, okay, something's happened.
All of a sudden, it's madness. It, you know, sirens and fire trucks, and it's like, uh-oh, what's happened?
5 minutes later, I heard someone say there was an explosion at the finish line, and it was in passing, so I thought maybe they were joking. And then a few minutes later, ran into a couple who had, a mom and a daughter, who had witnessed the explosion.
And then it was kind of surreal because we're all of a sudden running into all these folks. This is, we'd walked so far, who were, you know, before the finish line. We'd walked all the way back. And then there are all these thousands of runners with bibs. They're running bibs, but none of them are wearing medals because they never finished. Many of them were like at mile 25, 26, when all of a sudden they couldn't run anymore because of what had happened.
My first thought is I was thankful that Brent had finished the race and we had found him and we were all together. My 17-year-old daughter's with us, and so it was nice to know we were together. And then your second thought is you're just deeply saddened for those who were at the, you know, finish line. There's the grandstands there, and those who are injured, you just, you know, hope and pray for those in that situation, the victims and their families, and pray for those who are trying to connect with their families. You know, most runners don't run with cell phones.
You know, the crazy thing is though so many people have been stranded, and what I mean by that is, you know, you have all these people who finished who couldn't get to the buses yet to get their cell phones where their bags were. And then you have these families who are trying to connect with them. And then you have these 7,000 to 8,000 runners who hadn't finished the marathon yet who can't find their families. I mean, now we're with a gal and who's crying. She didn't finish the race. And I just feel so much compassion. I'm embarrassed to tell you this, but I mean, I don't want any attention for it. But it was so moving. I just gave her my medal, my race medal. Because I finished and got my medal, and she didn't finish, and she deserved a medal. And so I just gave her my medal because I had to. It was like, I cannot not give it to you. You deserve it. And she just started bawling. You know, so it's just, you just kind of look out when you're with folks who are, you know, I'm with my wife and daughter, and all of a sudden you just want to enter into whatever they're dealing with, and you just want to care for them.
That was Sitka residents Brent and Karen Cunningham on the phone from their hotel room in downtown Boston on Monday afternoon. Brent Cunningham finished the Boston Marathon about a half hour before two bombs exploded near the finish line. The Cunningham family is scheduled to return to Alaska today. Sitka business leader and philanthropist Lloyd Hames has died. According to family, Hames passed away quietly Friday night at the Sitka Pioneers home, where he had lived since 2011. He was 85 years old. Hames was born in Sprague, Washington in 1927 and served in Japan during World War II. He met and married Sitkan Barbara Rands in 1950 and came to work for his in-laws in their new grocery business, C.R. Rands Company. Hames eventually bought out his wife's parents on their retirement in 1969 and formed the Hames Corporation. In 1975, Hames formed Port West Incorporated and opened a grocery store and shopping mall in Ketchikan. At the peak of their operations, Hames's businesses were earning around $40 million a year. In addition to his business activities, Hames served on the Sitka Community Hospital Board, including 2 years as president during the construction of Sitka Community Hospital. He is a past president and director of both the Sitka Rotary Club and Sitka Chamber of Commerce. He served 18 years on the Board of Trustees of Sheldon Jackson College. Hames and his wife Barbara contributed to the major funding of the college's athletic center, which still bears their name. Lloyd Hames is survived by his wife, three grown children, and numerous grandchildren. Services for Hames are pending this Saturday in Sitka. Raven News will have a longer retrospective on Hames' life this evening. Alaska is set to put a Stand Your Ground law on the books. On Thursday night, the Senate passed a bill that would get rid of the duty to retreat if a person feels threatened, so long as the person has the right to be in that place. About two dozen states have similar self-defense rules. The Alaska legislature considered a similar bill last year, but the legislation stalled after the shooting death of Trayvon Martin, an unarmed Florida teenager. That homicide attracted national attention because the shooter was not initially charged with any crime because of the Stand Your Ground law. The bill passed 15-4 with Anchorage Democrat Bill Wilikowski teaming with Republicans to support the measure. The House approved the measure last month. The legislature adjourned Sunday without acting on a bill adding new voter identification requirements. But the measure is poised for action when lawmakers return to the Capitol next January. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports.
House Bill 3 was strongly opposed by a number of Southeast leaders, including lawmakers and Native officials. It passed out of the House Judiciary Committee last week, but when lawmakers adjourned, it remained in the Rules Committee, the last stop before bills go before the full chamber. At one of the measure's final hearings, Alaska Native Brotherhood Grand Camp President Bill Martin said a photo ID requirement could keep people from casting ballots.
There are many people who are my age group that actually don't have ID cards. The ID card is not required when they go for health care at search or to vote in our tribal elections because we have our own cards. There's no picture on them.
Clinkett Haida Central Council, the House Bush Caucus, Juneau's legislative delegation, and some other groups also oppose the legislation. Alaska Native Sisterhood Camp 70 President Jan Trigg went a step further. She said the measure discriminates against rural Alaskans and others.
It creates an impediment to the most basic democratic practice as citizens. The homeless, the homebound, returning veterans, the elderly, people of color, and college students would all be vulnerable to this new law.
The voter ID bill was praised by Travis Lewis, vice president of the group Alaskans for Alaska. He said weak laws have inflated voter rolls in his hometown of Elfin Cove, and he challenged the claim that proper identification is hard to get.
As a veteran, I want to say that when I got out of the military, I had all kinds of ID on me. It's pretty hard for me to understand in this day and age how a person could not have proper identification.
Sponsor Bob Lynn of Anchorage said his bill gives voters several options, including presenting no ID and casting a question ballot.
Nothing in this bill would restrict anybody who's currently registered to vote and motivated to vote from voting, wherever they live in the state, whether it's in an urban area, rural area, on an island, or wherever.
No companion legislation has been introduced in the Senate. That puts the focus on Lynn's bill next year. This is Ed Schoenfeld, reporting from Juneau.
Minority Democrats plan to support an effort to hold a referendum on recently passed oil tax legislation. Former state legislator and political activist Ray Metcalf said Monday he hopes to submit an application to the Division of Elections in the next few days. If the application is certified, the referendum committee would have 90 days from adjournment to gather the necessary signatures. According to the divisions, just three referendums have been successfully proposed and appear on the ballot in Alaska. Two have passed. During a post-session news conference Monday, minority House and Senate Democrats said they would help the effort. The bill would cut taxes for oil companies with the expectation it will lead to more production. Critics say there are no guarantees what Alaska will get in return. The state of Alaska is awarding more than $350,000 worth of grants for projects aimed at conserving, protecting, and restoring waters. A total of 12 programs were selected for funding through Alaska Clean Water Actions. That's a partnership between the Departments of Environmental Conservation, Fish and Game, and Natural Resources. Grants were awarded based on which waters were in the greatest need of protection or restoration. The largest sum was awarded to the city of Kenai. The ACWA will give the city $80,000 to monitor and test the Kenai River for bacteria. The University of Alaska Board of Regents is delaying consideration of a tuition increase at the UAF School of Management. The proposal calls for a 25% hike for upper division and graduate classes starting in fall 2014. The increase would add about $3,000 to the cost of degrees in accounting, economics, and business administration and give UAF another $400,000. In a letter to Regents, Management School Dean Mark Herman says the differential tuition has become common at business schools and UAF needs the money. Herman says business students are better able to pay higher tuition because of good job prospects. Regents met last week in Sitka. The matter will be addressed again at meetings June 6th and 7th in Fairbanks. And that's all for Raven News. If you've missed any of our stories or would like to hear them again, please visit us online at kcaw.org. And here's a look at Sitka's own weather. It's currently 38 degrees downtown at the Cable House under overcast skies. And today, rain will be developing, highs around 42 with southeast wind 10 to 20 miles per hour. Tonight, rain with lows around 39, southeast wind 15 to 25 miles per hour, becoming south 10 to 20 miles per hour late. Wednesday, rain likely in the morning, mostly cloudy in the afternoon with highs around 45, southwest wind 10 miles per hour. Thursday, mostly cloudy with highs around 45, west wind 5 miles per hour. And Friday, it'll be cloudy with a chance of rain, highs around 46. Also, a big thank you to everyone who donated during our spring drive. Every donation helps Raven Radio continue to bring you excellent news and variety of programming. If you haven't yet donated, please show your support right now. You can go to our website, kcaw.org, so we can keep community radio alive.